Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John begins a new series entitled, Walking in Faith. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 is known for speaking about faith, and there is no other chapter in the Bible that deals with faith in such detail. The Apostle Paul challenged readers to look at the various men and women who walked with God through difficult circumstances and believe that He was real and would not let them down. But to really understand this chapter, it is necessary to first define faith. It is interesting that Paul said that faith begins by believing that God is the Creator. Some Christians have faith in faith, others have faith in people. But real divine faith only comes when you have a strong relationship with God the Father. This message is entitled, What is Faith? Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church. And this is August the 7th, 2011. And we're starting a new series, and I'm going to be talking to you about walking in faith. This is one of my favorite subjects, to walk in faith. So why don't we do this? Let's stand and let's pray. And you that are watching us, will you stand in front of your computer or your television screen as we pray together? My Heavenly Father, I want to thank and praise you right now that we can meet here today in the mighty, powerful name of Jesus. And Father God, I just ask you right now that you will anoint me. Help me, Father God, to bring forth this truth from your word and help each believer in Christ to be anointed and to receive it. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want you to turn with me to the book of Hebrews. That's a letter of Hebrews. And we're going to be working in chapter 11. It's Hebrews chapter 11. And this is what I wrote. There's no greater source in the Bible about faith than chapter 11 in the book of Hebrews. It challenges the reader to look at the men and women who walk with God and through the most difficult circumstances believed that God was real and would not let them down. So let's now begin to look upon what is the definition of faith. And I'm going to read the first two verses. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. I want to try to define faith for you now and with you. And the first scripture we're going to turn to is in Job chapter 19. That's Job, the 19th chapter. And we're going to pick it up in verse number 25, that Job 19:25. Let me say this to you now. Many of us are struggling because we do not know if we are in God's will. Many people struggle because they do not know, am I in God's will? Other people are struggling because they simply do not know if God really loves them. Does the Father of God really love me as a person? And others are struggling because of unworthiness. Who am I? Do I really make a difference? Am I someone that God will use and that God will care for. And I want to share with you that if you have these doubts, you're going to have a difficult time with faith. In Job 19, in verse 25, we're going to pick this up. Job had been afflicted by the devil. He did not know that Satan had been to heaven and asked for permission to really do him some harm. He did not know that. And Job was in a limbo situation. He had walked with God. He was a preacher. He had done what was right. He had done nothing wrong. And the more he served God, the harder he got hit. And he lost all his business. He lost his children. He lost everything. But there's one thing that Satan could not take from him. And that was his faith in God. Job 19:25. For I know that my Redeemer lives, that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroyed his body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. I don't think that you and I really appreciate those verses. We haven't really thought it through. But I want you to understand that at this time, Job was covered from his head down to his feet with boils, sores. The stuff was just oozing out of him. And he was very weak. He was in a dying condition. His friends had been lambasting him. And then he said, I know that my Redeemer lives. I know I'm going to see him in my flesh. He knew about his resurrection to come. His faith was emotional. Can you imagine laying in a bed, being that badly stricken? And emotionally you say, I know that my Redeemer lives. I know it. I believe it. This is one aspect of faith, an emotion that you trust your Heavenly Father. Faith is also the hope of the mind that something is going to happen. Let me take it to Acts 27, the book of Acts. Chapter 27. And we want to pick it up in verse number 21. Acts 27:21. Here's a story. Paul had been in prison for 2 years in Caesarea. He was on a ship bound for Rome as a prisoner. He had warned the people and said, do not leave with a ship. It's going to go, we have a shipwreck. But the captain did not listen to him. In verse 21, we read this. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened to me and not have loosed from Crete. And they've gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given you all them that shall sail with you. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For I believe God, it shall be even as he was told me. Now, try to catch this man. The ship was now in a storm. Paul had been riding in this. And Paul is standing up, probably hanging on to something, and simply saying, be of good cheer. We are going to make it. An angel stood here by me last night and told me that. Did the rescue come right away? No, it took several days. But you see, this is the faith that Paul had got a hold of. He had seen the angel. He had heard the angel speak, and he simply said, I believe, I have faith. Here's a proverb most of us. God speaks to you. He opens this door, he opens that door, and he says, this is what I want you to do. But it might not happen immediately. And after one day or 2 days or 3 weeks or 6 months or 1 year, whatever it is, you begin to say, well, did God really speak to me? Well, you didn't have faith then. Faith is when you simply say, I am going to believe what God has shown me. And then faith is also a gift from the Holy Spirit. Turn it to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Have you picked it up in verse number 9? That's 1 Corinthians 12:9. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gift of healing by the same Spirit. Faith is a gift. Faith is a gift. It is given to you. Faith is an emotion. Faith is a hope you have that in your mind you believe is going to come. It is also a gift. Let me try to illustrate something for you. For the last year or so, maybe 8 to 9 months, I have been ministering to a man in Sweden. And he wants to go through deliverance. He purchased our book, Christian Dynamics 1. He studied it. I've been calling him about every week, talking to him and praying with him. And he's coming from a very severe background. Difficult. And then I begin to tell him this. I said, we're going to pray for you. And we have prayed here that God will give you a job. So you can earn an income, buy a ticket, fly to Sacramento, and we can have deliverance with you. This is what I thought. This is what I spoke to him. About 5 weeks ago, maybe 4, God told me this. Tell him to call a name by a man by the name of Eric, who was visiting in Sweden. And Eric was here a few months ago and got through deliverance. So I called a man up and I said, you know what? This guy, Eric, you saw him here on a webcast. He's in Sweden. Why don't you call him and talk to him? Because you're lonely. He said, I don't know. You know, I don't like to talk to strangers. So he didn't do it. The Holy Spirit and I said, call Eric and tell Eric to call this other guy. I did. The two of them talked. Here's what happened. God spoke to Eric and said this. I'm going to bring him to Canada. I'm going to have him work at my farm and help him with the harvesting in a few weeks. I'm going to pay for his tickets. And I'm going to send him down to Sacramento. I'm going to have him delivered. They're leaving next week. a living freedom next week. Here's what I want you to say now. If I had simply said, Holy Spirit, I am not going to call this guy. I am not going to make these two people connect. It would never have happened. Faith simply is when you obey God to do what he tells you to do. I talked to this man this morning. Name is Jan. And I said, now, isn't it exciting? Because he was not saying I have to scurry around and get a packing and stuff. I said, when God moves, he moves fast. Faith. In the future, maybe a few weeks, month, we're going to see this man in this church. Now, the last part of faith is this. Faith is knowing God as your Father. Turn to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 11. Here's what I learned. From the beginning, I had a hard time to believe that God the Father loved me. I just couldn't believe it. I preached, I prayed, I believed for everyone else. But me, a failure, nobody, reject, I couldn't believe it. You know what he did? It robbed me of my faith. Luke 11:9. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. If his son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone if he ask a fish? Will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Do you really accept the love from God the Father? Can you do that? Now, if your Father on earth did not give you the love that you craved and need as a child, it's going to be tough to know that God loves you. But if you haven't understood that, you're not going anyplace. We had a gentleman here some time ago. We've been praying for Tim in Colorado. And Tim has a very difficult time to accept that God loves him. I talked to him. I shared scripture with him. And finally I said, the only way you will ever know, you need a revelation from the Father himself. And this is what you and I need. We need a revelation from God that God loves me, that I am somebody in the kingdom. I am not a throwaway. I am worthy to be loved, and I'm worthy to be entrusted with the work in the kingdom of God. Let me go through these 5 points again, very quickly, actually 4. Faith is an emotion. Faith is a hope of the mind that something is going to happen. Faith is a gift from the Holy Spirit. Faith is knowing that God is your Father. Right now, I am probably going through one of the toughest times in my life. We're coming into the end times, very difficult times. I've been in the ministry for close to 40 years. And what I'm saying is that support has been evaporating. People have moved from Sacramento. Our attendance here has been dwindling down. Instead of rising up, it's been going down. People have died that have been our cyber members. Others have moved away. I believed that August was going to be the month that we're going to be able to make headways with taxes. And instead, we got more debts. I talked to a number of people in the last 3 or 4 months. They were very excited. And they were going to do this and this and that. And suddenly, they don't talk to me anymore. They disappeared. And I'm saying, God, where are you now? This is a very difficult time for me. For this church. And what we have to do is, I have to stand by faith. What's hard to understand is this. We got Christian Dynamics ready to go. That's been going out now for some time. People have been delivered and been set free. We got the knowledge. We got the training. We got some people. We got everything in place. And then it seems like God takes this church and parks us in a parking lot behind Walmart. Everybody's going into Walmart and nobody's coming to our shop behind. And I'm saying, God, where are you in this? People are leaving the city, going here, going there. And I'm simply saying this, where are you, God? If you think you got a tough time, I got a tough time right now. How are we going to end up? We're going to end up in victory. That's where we're going to end up. Let me take you to Mark chapter 11. That's Mark, the 11th chapter. That's Mark chapter 11. If you pick it up in verse 22. By the way, this morning, here's what I had to do. We had a mortgage payment. And in faith, I had to go to the post office today and drop a mortgage payment in. And something, God, you had to cover that by tomorrow. That's tough. Because you got deadlines. Let's turn to Mark now, chapter 11, verse number 22. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Let me read down my box. Some Christians have faith in faith. But others have faith in people. But genuine faith is in our Heavenly Father. And Jesus answering said to them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt his heart, but shall believe that all things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Therefore I said to you, what things ever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Faith is being obedient. Friday is our day off. I looked forward with my wife to take off Friday. And then my wife reminded me, she said, you know, Soteris is in the hospital. We should visit him. And she said, maybe we should go after we've been out and go and visit him. Now, in my flesh, I did not want to go to the hospital. I mean, there's nicer places to go than that. But as I was driving down the road, I was simply saying, God, what do you want me to do? He says, I want you to go to the hospital, and I want you to go first thing. Okay. So we went to make a deposit to the bank for the ministry, headed down for the hospital. I was thanking God, said, well, praise God, I'm glad to visit. I'm glad I'm not in the hospital, but I'll be glad to visit. We came down to the hospital, and my wife, now I want to talk about timing now, timing. So we walked in, my wife said, we don't even have a card. I said, I am the card. She said, no. We're going to get a card. I said, I am the card. You and I are the card. We're going to stand there and say, here, look at us, we're the card. Nope. So we went to the store at the hospital. And now, you know, time is ticking. And I'm thinking, of what is this all about? So she gets the card. And then, of course, we had to write in it. We write in the card. I get a verse from the Bible, write it down, take the elevator to come up. And here we walk into the hospital room. And here's Soteris, flat on his back, just laying there, you know. And we said, hi. Ma'am, I did not know that he was going to have a blood transfusion. And I'm not particularly careful for blood transfusions. So we're coming in, and I was just talking with him, and so suddenly, now we've been about 4 minutes, here comes a crew with the blood. And I realize, Soteris, give me your hand, you're going to pray over the blood. And he prayed, dear God, take away all contamination, all toxins, whatever it is, let this be good. And in the meantime, people scurrying around, you know, getting things ready. I didn't care if you prayed. Now, the reason I share the story is this, perfect timing. He was released from the hospital in the afternoon. If we would have said, well, we're going to go and enjoy ourselves, you know, later on tonight and we go and visit him, he would have been gone. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, when he tells you to do something now, you do it now because he has a timing. You don't. And it was a joy to follow the Lord. When Soteris lay there, I'm not about to lose another elder, but we haven't lost an elder. My other elder is on vacation. But I'm not going to lose any more people. So I said, God, you got to heal this guy. We can't lose any more people. Let me reread again from Mark 11:22. And Jesus answering said to them, have faith in God. For verily I said to you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be ye removed and be ye cast into the sea, he shall not doubt his heart, but shall believe that all things which he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he says. Therefore I said to you, what things ever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. You got to make up your mind now. If you're going to have faith in God, this is what it boils down to. Will my Heavenly Father answer my prayers? Does my Heavenly Father cares for me as a person? Am I worthy to receive His love? That needs to be settled. Now turn to 1 John chapter 1. That's 1 John chapter 1. You got to understand now that sin will destroy faith. In 1 John 1:4, we read this. And these things write unto you that your joy may be full. This is a message we have heard of him and declared to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Sin will take away faith. So we got to deal with that. How do we deal with that? By simply living daily in cleansing. Sure, you will mess up. Sure, you will get angry. Sure, your attitude will be bad. Sure, all these different things will happen. But you see, we don't let them fester. We confess them and ask God, please, my Heavenly Father, forgive me. Cleanse me. And then unforgiveness will destroy faith. Turn back to Mark now. Again, Mark chapter 11. Have you read this? When you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. For your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Now, if I have unforgiveness, it will destroy my faith. Unforgiveness will eat your faith. I don't care what you sing, how you march, how you proclaim the word of God, as long as we have unforgiveness in our heart, there is no faith. No faith at all. Are you willing to forgive? And then unbelief will destroy your faith. Turn to James chapter 1. That James, the first chapter. James chapter 1. Have you picked it up here in verse number 5? James 1, 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally, upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let no man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Unbelief will steal your faith. So now we have three things here. Sin will destroy faith. Unforgiveness will destroy faith. And unbelief will destroy faith. Now, what is unbelief? Unbelief is when you simply declare this. Yes, I believe there's a God in heaven. Yes, I love God, but, and here's that again, but, I don't think that God wants to. I don't think that God is to go do this or that. That is unbelief. It will happen to this guy, that guy, but not to me. Unbelief. Make up your mind. Can you trust God? Let me again take you back to Soterios in the hospital Friday. And I called him from a parking lot and said, "Hey, Sotiris, how you doing?" "Fine." I said, "You still in that hotel?" He said, "Yeah, I'm still in the hotel." I said, "You're going to be there for a while?" He said, "Yeah, I'm going to be here for a while." I said, "Okay, we're going to come and see you." And hung up. Now, if Sotiris would have said, "Okay, now, I wonder if that was really John that called, so I'm going to check, I'm going to call his phone and say, yeah, that was him calling. Okay, John, did you really mean that you said you're going to come?" "Yeah, I'm going to come." I said, "Yes." "Okay, fine, thank you." 3 minutes later, Sotiris is saying, "I don't know if he's going to come or not. I better call him. Call me again and say, John, where are you now?" "We are on our way to the hospital." "Are you sure?" "Yeah, I'm on the road. We're moving. We're in the direction of the hospital." "Are you sure you're going to come?" "Yeah, we're going to come." "Okay, thank you." 5 minutes later, he said, I think they had an accident. Maybe they took the wrong direction. Maybe they will not come." So he calls me again and says, "John, where are you now?" "Well, I'm closer now to the hospital than I was last time." "Are you sure you're coming? Are you sure you want to come?" I said, "I'm going to be there, Sotiris." "Shut up. Relax." That's how we talk to God. "God, did I hear from you yesterday?" "Okay, all right, I accept it." A few hours later, Oh God, you don't know how bad it is here. "Did you really talk to me, God?" And God said, "Yes, I did." "Okay, God, all right." That's unbelief. And that's why we don't get anything from the Lord. Then I learned something when I read this, but I had to prepare for this, that faith begins with a creation. Turn to Hebrews 11 now again. Back to Hebrews 11. And verse number 3. Look at this verse now. "Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Hello? Do you understand this? That if you are an evolutionist, you do not have faith. In order to have faith, you have to believe in the creation by God. Because if you eliminate God of the creation, you have no God at all. No wonder Satan got a hold of Darwin and said, "You know, we're going to cook up a new teaching, evolution." And what we learned in this, in nature, nothing goes from below and goes up, but it always goes up and deteriorates. Look at the outline. It should be clear to every Christian that if you do not have faith to believe that God is a creator, there will be no faith from God for that person. Let me run by you again. Here comes the bus again. If you say, "I believe in evolution, I don't believe that God created it," God cannot give you faith. You negated that. Because now you're denying that he is the creator. If he is not the creator, he cannot be the Messiah or the Redeemer. And if he is not the Messiah or the Redeemer, there is no hope in the future. Let's develop this. If you claim to believe in evolution, you are saying there is no God. The foundation of the Christian faith is that God is the creator and that he is ruling his creation. Let's begin by reading Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Verse 1, chapter 1 of the Bible. If you say, I don't believe that, you are destroying everything else in the Bible. You cannot have faith. When I was in college, they tried to tell me about the evolution. I wasn't walking with Christ. I kind of didn't care about it. It was just out to the side someplace. But I realized, once I was saved, how important it was to acknowledge that God is the Creator. If we don't do that, we are insulting our Heavenly Father. We simply say this wonderful miracle that you did of the universe and everything in it simply happened by chance. We are insulting his intelligence. We are insulting everything he is. And we are reducing him to a slimy chance. Shame on the human race when he say that. Turn to John chapter 1. The Gospel of John chapter 1. We pick it up in verse 1. Gospel of John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. If you're an evolutionist, you are destroying the first four verses in the Gospel of John that says, I don't believe that. You're destroying the foundation of our faith. Who was the Word? If you drop down to verse 14, we have it identified here. And the Word was made flesh, dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the Word. If I now reread verse 1 and 2, and instead of Word I put in Jesus, listen to this. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Jesus was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Jesus, and without him, without Jesus, was not anything made that was made. In Jesus was life, and the life was the light of men. If you believe in evolution, you're simply saying this, Jesus. Jesus, you're not the creator. You're nothing. You just happen to float into a universe created by the Big Bang. It's insanity. You know what? I was walking out to the forest one day, and there was a little puddle laying on the ground with a lot of mud in it, and I reached down and I found this watch. And you know, evolution made this watch. It just happened to come together with a glass, everything else. Even a battery came from evolution. I need to have a slot for a battery. Now, if you believe that, I want to sell the Golden Gate Bridge to you. Very cheap. You can buy it on installments. $500 a month for 10 years, and the bridge is yours. Just go down and claim it after you paid me the money. And then I want to read on further in verse 5. And the light shines in darkness, the darkness comprehend it not. And then we go down to verse number 9. That was a true light which lights every man that comes into the world. He was in the world. The world was made by him. Jesus was in the world, and the world was made by Jesus, and the world knew him not. Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I want you to reread those verses over and over again to get it. And then we turn to Colossians chapter 1. There's the book of Colossians, the first chapter. If you pick it up in verse number 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partaked in the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness, has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created. For by Jesus were all things created, that are in heaven, that are on the earth, visible, invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Jesus and for Jesus. And he, Jesus, is before all things, and by Jesus all things consist. And Jesus, the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things Jesus might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Jesus should all fullness dwell. Do you realize when we read these verses here today that the creation cannot be set aside from salvation? It cannot be set aside from our belief in God. If you're an evolutionist, you really don't have any gospel. You don't have a gospel. There can be no gospel without God being the creator. Now turn with me to Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45. And we're going to drop in Isaiah 45, and then we're going to drop into verse 21. Isaiah 45, 21. Tell you and bring them near you. Yea, let them take counsel together, who has declared this from ancient time, who has told it from that time. Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be you saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. Here's God is saying this. There is no one else. I am it. I am the creator. I am supreme. There is nothing existing outside of me. Let me try to see if I can expand your minds a little bit. How big is the universe? If we leave our solar system, we travel and leave our galaxy. And we leave the cluster that the galaxy is in. And we move out. How far out can we go? How huge is the universe? How far can we go? We don't know. All we know is this. It is vast. And there is no one else except God. Jesus the Son and the Holy Ghost. 3 in 1. It is important we understand that. It doesn't matter how far you go. There is only one God. There's nothing outside the creation. Nothing outside of God. That's it. If you turn up to 46:9, that's Isaiah 46:9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. There's no other gods. God is not just one of the gods. There is none like him. He is unique. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient time the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. And I will do all my pleasure. If somebody come up to you and says, you know, I don't think you are real. I don't think you are real. You are a phony. And I'm going to prove that by slicing you up with a knife. You're not going to say, okay, go ahead and do it, then you find out I'm real. You're going to be upset. And yet we slice God when we say he doesn't exist. He is not the creator. We destroy him in our minds. We don't destroy God, but we destroy him in our minds. Isaiah chapter 55. That's Isaiah chapter 55. These are powerful verses. Verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, is the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, returns not thither, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth in bud, that he may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. God said, my word shall prosper. That's a promise. He said, my word shall prosper. This is where faith kicks in now. I have read from the Bible today. I have declared from the Bible today, these words will not return void, but they will accomplish in you what God wants and return with victory. Christianity is faith in God and in the Bible. If you don't have a Bible, if you don't believe in the Word of God, you have no faith. You have to have the Bible, and you have to have your faith in God. My last scripture for today is from the book of Acts, chapter 4. That's the book of Acts, chapter 4. We're going to pick it up in verse number 8. That's Acts 4, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. Notice now, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is a stone which was set at naught of your builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. There is only one name. His name is Jesus. If you take away from Jesus, the creation, you got nothing left. If he is not the creator, he is not your savior. You can't have a savior without having a creator. And if you've been leaning on evolution, what should you do? Just ask God to forgive you. And simply by faith, saying, my mind might not understand it. My education might not understand it. But since God's word says it, I'm going to accept it by faith. And believe it by faith. That's how you got to start your life. And Luke 9, verse number 13. Now when he saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. If you spend time with Jesus, you will have power, and men and women will tell that you have been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with him, they could say nothing against it. Let me pull this message together right now. And I hope that you will study this week. It's a basic message, but most people have not got it. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. I have faith that this church is going to make it, that our minister is going to make it. Faith is an emotion. I have faith that all the years and the work and the labor that all of us have put together is not going to be thrown out. It's going to be used. I have an emotion in that. Faith is the hope of the mind that something is going to happen. God has spoken to us many times. I believe it is going to happen. Faith is a gift of the Holy Spirit. I have that gift of the Holy Spirit. Faith is knowing God as your Father. This took me the longest time. I was a bad child. I messed up in school. I was not well thought of. I was a thief. I was a liar. I was all kind of things. I was a creep. Women used to call me creep. And I thought about myself as a worthless, useless creep. And then God saved me. And I said, well, thank you, Lord, for saving this worm. I appreciate it. But you know what? I still didn't think I was worthy. I was thankful to go to heaven. But I felt, you know, God loved everybody else. But me? No. I was just out there, nothing. And then one day God revealed to me, he loved me. Me. He created me. And now I have faith in my Heavenly Father. Sin will destroy faith. Unforgiveness will destroy faith. Unbelief will destroy faith. And then finally, we talked about creation. Without Jesus as a creator, you don't have Jesus the Savior. You got to have them both. And if you've been destroyed in college, you might have a doctor's degree. I don't know where you are or what you have. Here's what you got to do. You got to simply say by faith, I'm going to accept what the Bible says. I'm going to destroy all my intellectual garbage that they taught me. And I'm going to have faith that Jesus is my creator. Let's stand for prayer. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, that I have faith to get up here to preach today. Knowing that you would anoint me today, Lord. And I thank you for that. And Father God, I pray for every man, woman, boy, and girl that heard this message today, Lord. That number one, baptize them with your love. Let your love simply flow in and explode in their hearts. Showing them that you are their Heavenly Father. And then, Lord, let faith begin to grow so that the men and women and the boys and girls shall be able to be exploiting to build your kingdom and to live a life of abundance. I thank you for that, Lord. Father God, as we open the altars today, if there are people today here, Lord, that needs a prayer, they need a touch of you, Lord. Let them not be intimidated, but let them come to the altars and receive from you. Father God, those that are watching me right now, if there's someone out there who's not saved, I tell you this, just cry out to say, I believe. I believe there is a God. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me. I believe I can get saved. Forgive me, my Heavenly Father. Come on Jesus and save me. And He will. Then call us and write us and help us and let us help you to minister to you. May God bless you. The altars are open. The elders, deacons are here. You come. If you need to be prayed for, maybe you have a sickness. Whatever it is, let them anoint you with oil and minister as the altars are open in Jesus' name.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you'll die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people. You give money to charity. and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are. You've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the first part in the series, Walking in Faith, and was entitled, What is Faith? Chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews is all about faith, and the Apostle Paul challenged readers to look at the various men and women who walked with God through difficult circumstances, and believe that He was real and would not let them down. However, sin, unforgiveness, and unbelief will destroy faith. Pastor John showed how faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is an emotion, and the hope of the mind that something is going to happen. Additionally, faith is a gift from the Holy Spirit, and knowing God as your Father. Christianity is faith in God and in the Bible. But if you don't have faith to believe that God is the Creator, there will be no faith from God for you. Some Christians have faith in faith, while others have faith in people, but genuine faith is derived from our Heavenly Father. Do you have an ear to hear with? This message is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1302. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today. And until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.